Okay, hi friends, and welcome to our 47th Rays and Initiations webinar commentary. I'm broadcasting here from the Temple of Silence. It's been very dark in Finland, but it's getting brighter all the time. Now, I've been reviewing this material, and I thought, well, what I'll do, instead of just sending this to you, I will also reread everything that I have recently sent to you, and I'm just amazed at how easy it is to miss fundamental factors, which are the basis for our bridge building. What I want to say is that when we enter this visualization stage and we align the formless buddhic plane, formless beyond what we normally call the contents of vision, and the gathered energies within the ring pass knot upon the mental plane, and the picture forming capacity of the astral plane, we do have to do some visualization. And I want to say here, what is this visualization all about? I mean, does it simply stop with the bringing into as good a visual relationship as we can imagine those three factors, the buddhi, the gathered energies, and the creative imagination, or is it something else? So creative imagination must act at the stage of visualization. Now, in what manner does it act? It builds a seven-colored bridge. We're in United Kingdom English here, so I'm going to add that. A seven-colored bridge, two strands of which, will be made into the cable, which connects the mental unit with the monastic permanent atom and perhaps with permanent atoms above. That still remains to be seen, but you can create in your visual imagination, a seven-colored bridge of light in this visualization stage. And in the projection stage, two of those colors, the color of your present personality ray and, of course, of your soul ray, which has been quite constant, probably changing only once under most possibilities. If you have a first, second, or third ray soul, it has changed from 4, 5, 6, or 7. So two of the colors will be used to project the bridge. Now, that bridge, I haven't quite decided, you know, this is all quite an interior process, can be projected as a line of light as far as possible towards the spiritual triad and at least to the monastic permanent atom, but maybe beyond. And then its two colors are then seen. The bridge, the projection is seen as, let's say in my own case, you know, second ray, fourth ray, as indigo and yellow. And I can build this projection how I want. I can change that line of light into the two colors particularly. That's one way to do it. Or I'm still trying to decide whether when the projection is made from the mental unit, whether the two colors are projected from the mental unit exactly. There are some statements that DK gives that make it seem that a projection is made probably of a rapier-like line of white light, and then it is seen as dual-colored after that. Or some might say that the dual colors are projected straight from the mental unit. Whichever way it works, eventually you wind up with two colors out of the seven. Your rainbow bridge is as interestingly and beautifully made as you can have it, a seven-colored phenomenon of light. And two of those colors make the major cable of soul and personality ray, which reaches up towards the top of the triad and towards the monad, and from there a response is evoked. And as that downpouring occurs, the two sections of the bridge meet, and then there is a demonstration of light, of realization, something of that nature. There's still a question as to whether we should imagine this dual-colored bridge as extending beyond the monastic permanent atom. I tend to do that, and towards the, at least towards Bodhi, and maybe Bodhi being the fourth cosmic subplane is the place where particularly the downpouring from the monad and from the Atma occurs. And then you have this light demonstration. I think that would make a lot of sense, but you have to interiorly work on this to see what works for you and how the evocation works for you, and what you feel and what you sense as a result of the lower tension evoking the attention of the higher. So, you know, as DK says, it seems complicated in the beginning, and maybe it is, but each one of us will work out the best approach for that response, which will make a wholeness out of us, all the way from the monad down to the personality. Of course, there's no up or down. It's all a vibratory relationship here, and probably has quite an interesting harmonic mathematics behind it all. But we, being limited in our perceptual and imaginative abilities, have to imagine the in and out and the up and down. And it is a heuristic method, a teaching method, which does evoke the response that we are looking for. So I'm going to be experimenting with this. You know, I've been working at this for some 40 plus years, and I still find it necessary to experiment, and maybe you will too. But read very, very carefully what we went over, what we discussed. I fear all too superficially, you know, it's almost like every sentence could be pored over, could be pondered, and would produce its riches. But the main thing I'm trying to say here is that the sevenfold bridge of light is imagined in the visualization stage, and it passes, as it were, from the picture-making faculty of the creative imagination through the retained pool of energies on the mental plane, as at high in as high a state of tension as we can sustain, and then on as far as we wish to take it. You know, maybe we want to take that bridge of light all the way to the monad, but certainly up to the Bodhi, because the Bodhi, the imagination, and the retained energies all have to come into relationship. And that is done particularly through the act of projection. And the projection occurs at this gathered point of attention at the mental unit. It's from the mental unit or around the mental unit. We don't know the specific metaphysics, you know, or the physics, the atomic physics or superatomic physics of this setup. Not yet, we don't. But anyway, whether we project the dual line in its two colors, the soul and personality colors now, or whether we project a line of white light and then see at least part of it colored by our soul and personality colors and await the downpouring evocative response from the higher part of our nature, well, that's going to be it's going to be decided on the basis of experiment and our own close reading of what the Tibetan has said. You know, I'll just say this. Read very, very carefully and read over and over again. You know, sometimes in this document, I've made some letters much bigger. You know, it might indicate their importance. And, you know, at some point, maybe I can send them to you as well, because I tend to go over the document and make modifications that may not be in my original video. But, you know, just even looking at the projection for just a moment here, you know, we picture the Rainbow Bridge, and it's made up of all, this is the projection falling into three main activities. We picture the Rainbow Bridge, and we call in the will aspect, and this is, in this connection, it is in this connection that the differing ray methods make their appearance, because every method is a method of the will, and there are seven different methods of the soul. As I've said, you know, we have to call in the, depending on the ray of the soul, the will to initiate, the will to unify, the will to evolve, the will to harmonize, the will to act, the will to cause, and the will to express, according to the seven rays in order. So we have to preserve also a triple consciousness factually, so that three paralleling lines of thought or streams of active energy are used simultaneously. So we're aware of ourselves as the personality or soul. We don't lose our identity. And this is a very important one. He's aware of the point of focus tension which he has succeeded in producing, and that is in the vicinity or involving the mental unit. I don't think we need to know the technical details. We don't even know exactly what the mental unit looks like, but we have to imagine this tiny point which has produced the lower mind, and that the three streams of energy have contributed to this retained gathering of energies. And one is the focused energy of the personality, focused, poised in the lower concrete mind. So I suppose we would draw up the vitality of the etheric body and use the mental energy there in the lower concrete mind. And then into that retained energy, we have the inflowing magnetic energy of the soul, streaming out from the 12 petals of the three tiers, plus the innermost tier of the egoic lotus. And so all 12 petals are going to be part of creating this point of tension through which the product of the creative imagination is passing and relating it to Buddhi. And then the energy of the jewel in the lotus, all streaming into the center of tension on the mental levels of the lower mind. And maybe it's at this point, you know, that we can call in the particular kind of will that we sense will be coming from the jewel in the lotus. Now, that will carry some of the energy of our monad, and we may not know what our monad is, but when we, it is still useful, because the jewel in the lotus is within the egoic lotus, and therefore is going to be relating to some of the quality of the egoic lotus. So if I were a second ray soul, I would, you know, call in the will aspect into that point of tension on the mental plane, and I'd call in the will to unify, which would be the second ray aspect of the will, and maybe later I'd learn how to blend it if I have a third ray monad with the will to evolve or something like that. You know, so I say I'm a bit obsessed here with going over and over things, because I'm just aware that it is not an easy process. So he is aware of as much of the consciousness of his ray energy as can enter his awareness. This is his egoic ray energy and not personality force. So during the projection, you know, if we're a second ray soul, we have to really feel immersed in the second ray. He endeavors to see himself as a point of particular energy, colored by his ray life. So I would just imbue myself with the second ray. If you're a first ray soul, you know, use the first ray or whatever the ray of your soul may be. And he carefully bears in mind that the energy of the egoic ray is the major energy through which the monad is attempting to express itself, you know, in the in the five lower worlds, and especially in the three lower worlds. So also we're aware that our threefold egoic vehicle is a reflection of and closely related to the three aspects of the spiritual triad. It is this relation and its conscious interplay which is evoked by the building of the Antikorana. So we're really somehow bringing the spiritual triad and the egoic lotus into rapport, and which eventually, when this relationship between triad and soul is very powerful, powerful enough, it brings into radiant activity the jewel and the lotus, and that's coming more after the third initiation and towards the fourth. And so all of these stages have to be finished first, as far as completed, as far as we feel we can do, and then and only then. See that, how easy that would be to overlook? Does he prepare himself with a distinctive use of his ray method in preparing for the projecting sound or word of power, which is done more in the world of meaning? And basically he's telling us, okay, this is a definitely planned and scientific process, as scientific as something occurring on the outer plane. And he assures us that it all becomes automatic once it is mastered. So, he's giving us all of these summaries. He goes over and over it. And I feel obliged to go over and over the things he goes over and over. And I hope I'm not confusing you by doing that. I'm just trying to look at it from every angle here. And you'll work out your own method of clarity. So, in this intention process, producing focusing intention, we're drawing from the personality, we're drawing from the 12 petals, we're drawing from the jewel in the lotus and its will aspect, and we are immersing ourselves in the sense of our soul ray. And then with visualization, we're coming in rapport with the Buddhic activity of impression, but it's not necessarily visual. We have the tension of the mental body, of those gathered energies, and the imagination of the astral body and imaginative processes. And we are building a bridge. Now, however you want to look at the building of that bridge, we're supposed to do it as beautifully as possible. Sometimes I think I've made the error of simply thinking that the two colored Antikorana of soul ray color and personality ray color would be sufficient for the bridge. But there's more to it because it has all seven colors, and out of the seven, two are selected, and the bridge remains what it is, but the major colors of projection are your soul and personality ray colors. So here in this aspect of projection, he summarizes. The will aspect is called in, probably from the jewel in the lotus, and we preserve a triple state of awareness. We're aware of our own identity. We don't drift off. He is conscious of a fixed point of tension, which has been gathered on the mental plane, and he's always aware of his soul ray or soul energy. I say to myself, look, if I repeat this often enough, it's really going to sink into my mind and become an automatic process, but of course, we really have to practice this. Really imbued, really feeding oneself, before one starts to project, you have to really feel yourself as the quality of your particular soul ray. And that may be another aspect that I have not emphasized strongly enough in the teaching. But in the full moons coming up, I will incorporate some of these things which have been underemphasized, and I think it will be of benefit to all of us. And then we start to use our ray method, distinctive ray energy, correctly. We know that it's this projection, this line of light, is going to be at least largely colored by our soul ray. And then again, he emphasizes, when all of this is completed, notice how thorough he wants us to be here. He's not, you know, you just don't jump in there and start using your word of power. Then we use the word of power, which is the agent of our will, the will coming from the soul-infused personality, we might say. It is stimulated, this aspect of the will is stimulated by one of the seven aspects of will, for the second ray, will to unify, first ray, will to initiate, and so forth. So then the word of power is finally used. And he tells us that this short tabulation should aid in the process, and we can carry this preliminary work forward. Now, he discusses three, I know I'm reviewing here, but maybe it's not a bad idea. It's good for me, maybe good for you. Three factors which the building process depends, on which it depends. We have to hold the mind steady in the light, preserving the point of attention at the highest possible point. Now, how do you do that? It's an intense focusing. And this focusing can lead to understanding and penetration into areas of cognition which may have been unavailable to us before the intense focusing. We're supposed to register soul contact, and you know, the projecting mechanism is the soul-infused personality. So it's only the truly integrated soul personality which will be most successful. The soul is the projector, not just the personality. And technically, he says, this means that the energy of the soul ray and the personality ray merge together, with the soul ray dominating always, and that we have to see to. We have to realize that it's the quality of our soul which is dominating, even though the personality ray quality is present. And then we hold in mind the method to be used according to our particular ray technique. And our whole purpose here is to relate the spiritual triad and the personality. The bypassing of the soul is moderated by the absorbing of the soul. You see, bypassing of the soul is moderated by the absorption of the soul energy into the personality. Now, all of these are just words until we really are successful enough in bringing this into practical expression. So the soul is a separate entity, is not so much in our mind. It is fading out of the picture and is being absorbed into the personality. We have to get the feeling of that, of these two things together, not the soul as entirely distinct from the personality, but the soul working through the personality. The personality is becoming the soul in incarnation. Think of that. How many of us are the soul in incarnation? How many of us feel and express as if we were the soul in incarnation? And that's one of those ones. I want to do that again. Yeah, soul in incarnation. Okay. All of these things have to have a feel to them, you know, and otherwise we're just stuck in the mind and we're just throwing words around, and there's no experience that accompanies these words. So eventually the relation is established between the spirit monad and the personality. And a tiny point of consciousness, eternally present, which is aware of both these factors and yet preserves inviolate its own identity. He frequently references this third point. I suppose there comes a time when everything is absorbed into the monad. But at the particular stage at which we find ourselves, this third point of observation is very important. This tiny point is a point of observation. Okay, observation, OBS. And so this is the later realization, long time it takes, aeonial work, the soul fades out apparently, but then the soul is a universal principle. And in our solar system, at least, this consciousness of being is the main factor. So soul in the secondary solar system is the main factor which is being emphasized. Now here's, you know, here I go. I just chose a random place to begin, and maybe I'm elaborating a little bit more than I have in the past, and I almost feel compelled to keep going because, you know, it's just so interesting, this internal scientific work. And well, if you're like me, maybe years can pass and you don't pay adequate attention to the building process, which you might, and which would gain for you great access to the inner parts of your nature. Now, this is really, really important, and it's a point that I overlooked. It's almost as if this some of these videos are sort of an explanation to you of what I've overlooked in the building of the Antikoranta process. But I'm glad, you know, better late than never. And, you know, maybe for you too, I'm helping to draw to your attention certain factors which you may have overlooked as well. The bridge is frequently called the Rainbow Bridge because it is constituted of all the colors of the seven rays. Now, frequently, you know, I've had the sense that as we gather our whole group, we do get all the colors. But every one of us has all seven colors because, you know, we've been on every one of the rays in terms of the personality. If we're at all advanced, let's just say, you know, maybe there's a lot of people who in the very beginning of evolution will never be on the first, second, or third ray in their personality, but later they will be. And now we're talking to each other about building the Antikoranta, so we should be advanced enough to have been on all the seven rays. The question remains, have we ever been on the same personality ray as our soul ray? That seems to happen rather later in the process. So I'm just leaving that as a unanswered question. When I see Master DK next, I'll ask him about that. He will be in a position to explain these things, and we do feel it coming. So speaking specifically from the angle of the disciple, we do have a sevenfold bridge being built here, and we do have to imagine that it's made of all the colors, and always the soul ray color will somehow always be there. So we really have to have the sense of that. The bridge which he builds between the personality and the spiritual triad is composed of seven strands of energy or seven streams of force. Seven. Okay. He uses all the seven rays, having gained facility in doing so because again and again his personality has, in the long cycle of incarnation, been on all the seven rays many times. Now this is the question. Has it been on all the seven rays if the personality ray is the same as the soul ray? He does give one example in his book, and that's in the Techniques of Integration. And it's a first ray personality with a first ray soul, very rare thing, I think, and somehow developed later, only after balance has been achieved, or that there's not a threat that imbalance will be somehow evoked. So that's the question. Does it happen quite late in the process? Because I think the particular individual involved here would have a first-ray soul, first-ray personality, fourth-ray mind, second-ray astral body, and a sixth-ray physical body. So you can see the balance between the 2, 4, 6 there and two of the ones. But that comes very much later. So I'd really like to ask Master DK, you know, in the long cycle of incarnations, is it only in the later part of that cycle that we are likely to get the same personality ray as we have a soul ray? It seems that only in the later part of the cycle are we able to preserve the necessary balance, which having the same soul ray and personality ray might threaten. But his soul ray dominates eventually, and in the rainbow bridge, the colors of his rays are heard vibrating, and the note of his ray is seen. This is the Devic language, and the Devas, we are told, hear color and see sound. And then we're building the bridge for the entire human race. And eventually it'll be formed of seven strands of energy, but every one of us has seven strands of energy as well. And that is something, you know, that how would you visualize that if you're visualizing your bridge? You know, there's some beautiful illustrations by Francis Donald, who is kind of, you know, the artist who has done so much to portray the initiation process for, you know, in association with the Moria Federation. And there's one of his illustrations for a conference that we've had that shows a multicolored rainbow bridge, and maybe it's something that you can use. When I think of the rainbow bridge, I do think of interweaving sort of ongoing figure eights. And in one of the old papers that I got my hands on somehow, and it was from the earlier group, Antichoronic construction was all looking like it was composed of figure eights. Well, we would have to experiment with that. Of course, the eight is the number of Mercury, and Mercury is the planet which builds the bridge particularly. So it's not too far-fetched. So anyway, it is therefore formed eventually of seven strands. That's the bridge of humanity. And to this bridge, the creative work of all human beings who reach the stage of soul contact contribute, because the very first soul contact is the beginning of the bridge, even though the bridge is threefold in a way, reaching from the mental unit to the monastic permanent atom, but that comes later. The first part is reaching from the mental unit into the egoic lotus, and there's also a kind of an interesting completion of the triangle, reaching from the egoic lotus to the monastic permanent atom. Well, anyway, In those of us who build this thing, their dominant strands of light fuse into one whole, and their lesser strands are lost to sight in the radiance of the sevenfold bridge, which humanity will eventually complete. Now, let's see. I'd like to make that, that's number 20, and, you know, I'd like to make that pretty big. This is my way it's not original with me. Some of the excellent compilations by Zach Rymel, he uses a similar technique of enlarging certain fonts where emphasis seems to be needed. But anyway, our lesser strands are lost in the general sevenfold bridge of humanity. And if we were to look at the bridge that we are imagining, or which is actually existing, those lesser strands of the unemphasized rays would be there, but always our major, the dominant strands, would be the ones that are standing out. And, you know, that's your soul ray color and your personality ray color. So that's why it's so important to know what is your soul ray and what is your personality ray. Okay, even in this finally completed bridge, that's for humanity at the end of the world cycle, one ray of light will predominate, and that's the second ray, with the fourth ray as the subsidiary ray. Fourth ray, of course, you know, we are members of the fourth creative hierarchy, and that yellow ray, the Mercury ray, is always going to be dominant. But interesting that humanity is really moving towards the second ray demonstration, and that seems to be finally the soul ray of humanity. Is it the monadic ray? You know, humanity evolves through destruction, and the devas evolve through construction. So maybe there's something way up there on the top of the human system which relates to the first ray. That has yet to be established. The fourth ray might symbolically be called the main cable for humanity, because it is the dominant note of the fourth creative hierarchy. And, you know, it is related to the monad in that respect, to the monad of humanity. But for the moment, it seems that the rays of humanity are the fourth ray, soul, and the fifth ray, personality, but that is gradually changing. Well, you know, unfortunately, once I begin to look at these things, I start to talk about them, and So, you know, I have taken this up, and I hope I've said a few things which are of value to you and to me. I'm trying to think if there's something more right here which I'd like to deal with. I think what I'll do is just kind of review. It's turning out that this program number 47 is more of a review than really going on ahead. So I'll take some of this down to the point where we began talking about the word of power of Ray 1, word of power of Ray 2. I think I've said there as much as I can possibly say, but the review of the bridge and the projection process, this is such an experimental kind of thing, and everybody has to work interiorly until the experience of projection and of contact and of reciprocal evocation, or the evocation which makes the bridge building a reciprocal process, until those are real factors in our consciousness. You know, 40 years ago or more, I began all this stuff, and now I just feel this is a most necessary review, and I'm hoping in my own case to bring the process into a state of achievement which I have not yet achieved, you know. So I'm very tenacious kind of person, and kind of stick with this until something really happens. But as DK says, for our encouragement, that a lot can be going on in terms of the structure of the bridge, the construction of the bridge, which we have not been able to sense or to see, but it's there. So we have to have a lot of faith as we begin working here, because we're working in very subtle area and working with the creative imagination. We're wondering what's real and what is imagination, and do the two blend, imagination and the reality? So obviously only as we penetrate into these matters with persistence will it be revealed to us, will the fruit of our labors be revealed to us. So we're going to consider these words of power. He tells us we're dealing entirely with the will aspects, and so this is the third phase of the, you know, sort of the esoteric curriculum, beginning on the path of probation. We have to, on the POP, and I always call that the path of probation. Let's see what we've got there. Oh, yeah, there it is. It's already there. So on the path of probation, we deal with perfecting, or at least improving, personality. On the path of discipleship, and there's one that I definitely need. So path of, okay, come on, disciple. Okay, and we're almost there. Thanks for your patience. On the path of discipleship, we deal with increasing soul contact. And here, on the path of initiation, and I guess you can figure out what that would be. Okay, path of initiation, we deal with the will aspect, okay? We deal with the will aspect and with contacting spiritual triad and eventually the monad. So anyway, a higher type of alignment is required of us during this kind of work, and the evocation of a divine aspect, hitherto relatively quiescent, probably in our own lives, relatively quiescent. We don't really know what the will means, you know. Even though this is going to be listened to far into the future, here is the year 2017, and this year our USR-SRI conference is called The Will and the Way. It's a Ray 1 year, and so if you're hearing this ahead of time, please come to the conference. And if you're hearing this many years after the conference took place, then at least wish you had been there. Okay, so a higher process of alignment and the evocation of this relatively quiescent aspect. But we do have the reflection in our sacrifice petals, and sacrifice is an aspect of bliss, or leads to bliss, and at least we can work out the sacrificial will in our daily life, even though it's just a reflection of this higher form of will, plus the distorted shadow in the mind nature. So the mind oftentimes compels us to sacrifice. Sometimes we say, oh, I don't feel like doing that, but I will do that because I know it's an important thing to do. And that's just a little sacrifice right there. So this requires of those building the Antikorana a relatively high stage of development. And it means, hopefully for all of us, that there are indications, at least that, between the mind, the sacrifice petals, and the atomic principle. So think about that alignment for just a moment, you know. Your point of spiritual will, your sacrifice petals unfolding as you take the probationary initiations and the third initiation, and then the mind, you know, held steady in the light of the will to sacrifice. So he tells us that this indication may be the most tenuous thread possible, really thin, 1,000 times finer than a gossamer web. Kind of makes you wonder about the atomic or superatomic physics of those planes, but it must inevitably be present. And so when it is present, what do we have in the esotericist? This marks a complete unit of spiritual work and bringing the man upon the physical plane into complete alignment. And this unity, the fourth initiation, is the point of consummation here. And the causal body disappears for all practical purposes. The great renunciation, which time the first aspect begins to dominate the two. And, you know, sometimes you think, well, that happens at the third initiation, but apparently not entirely. You know, our sacrificial will is not strong enough yet at the third initiation. And we've had that story of the rich young man who was a third degree initiate and very righteous and very capable, who went sadly away when the Christ demanded still more of him. He couldn't quite make the sacrifice. Then the soul life at the fourth, at the fourth initiation, fades out. And the causal body disappears, and the sum total of memory is absorbed into the monad first, I believe, into, gosh, I hope everything is correct here. Yeah. First, it is absorbed into the spiritual triad and then into the monad. I've got a lot of technology going here, and when I hear strange sounds, I begin to get worried. Anyway, I and my Father are one becomes true. Eventually, and beyond the fourth initiation, because the Christ, who was saying those things, you know, in the body of Jesus, was already a fifth degree initiate, almost taking the sixth degree, at which time it really could be said, I and my Father are one. And the astral body, maybe not the astral atoms, I still have to work that out, vanishes, and physical body's not needed. But the astral body, the vital body is. And all this stuff about the body of fire, just look in the 160s of a treatise on cosmic fire, and you'll find some amazing stuff about this body of fire. So then what do we have? We have, from the formal aspect, we have the monad. Now consider that. The monad is considered form because it's a vehicle, but at the heart of the monad is really that point of the fire of being, and that is your real essential self. Then the sphere of the spiritual triad, notice the word sphere, interesting. It's been built by the permanent atoms, which the monad selected long ago, and eventually, not at first, but eventually a sphere of cognition, of ability, of qualities, of cities is built on those permanent atoms, which have, you know, only three spirilla and not the usual seven. So the monad, the sphere of the spiritual triad, and the etheric body upon the physical plane. So that's what's left of us after the fourth initiation. And, you know, the etheric body can simply be a projection if we are not really retaining our personality, you know, if we die, let's say, in that process. Excuse me. I would here remind you that the levels of conscious existence, which we regard as formless, are only relatively so. Even just the way there's form on our lower etheric planes, cosmically consider this form on the higher etheric planes as well. The center of consciousness is now the will nature. And you know, the center of consciousness, I want to point this out. If you turn to page 168 and 169 of Esoteric Psychology 1, you'll see DK talking about Annie Besant, talking about Annie Besant, she used the phrase center of consciousness to mean the monad. But anyway, the will nature can be atmic from that point of view. The monad comprises more than just will. It has wisdom and activity too, and it also has in its central nature pure being. So the center of consciousness is now the will aspect, and we are coordinating the atmic vehicle. And beyond this, you know, like every master, the will is most important. But when you look at the whole solar system, the will in our solar system is the will to love. So although will is the most important aspect, it's the will aspect of the great secondary impulse, which is the soul and personality and nature of our solar logos, the will to love, or the will as it serves love. Okay, activity and love are still present in full measure, right? But the focus of the initiate's attention is the will aspect of divinity. But let us remember, you know, here, will in our solar system always serves love. Okay. You know, there's a lot of things to absorb here, and excuse me. That absorption does take place, you know. Gradually, we can't always be pulling ourselves up by the roots, wondering whether we're growing or not. We will grow. We will apply ourselves to this marvelous teaching, and we will grow within the consciousness of Master DK, who has so solicitously made it possible for us to grow into the spirit of esotericism and the feeling of esotericism and the experiences of esotericism and, of course, the knowledge of esotericism. So a lot of these things will just come together for us if with persistent, being serious students, we stick with it. I always think it's a very great thing to be a serious student. Maybe it's related to the great star, but we spell it differently. It means we're really on the track and we're not going to be deviated. And even if we fall off a little while, you know, we'll be right back on before you know it. And we will accomplish. We don't take no for an answer. And that is a very important stage to reach, and not so easily reached at first, because many failures occur, temporary failures, and we lose our courage and we lose our desire and we lose our aspiration. But sadder but wiser, we learn to continue, if not in the same life, then in lives to come. Now, this next part, you know, I did that earlier, I think, satisfactorily. Sometimes what I do when I don't think I do something satisfactorily, which is just about all the time, I go back and try to do it again, you know. I think, you know, only in this case, Master DK does things satisfactorily. I'm just trying to be a kind of a bridge from what he has said to the kind of application that we human beings can make of this sometimes very esoteric energy or teaching. So this wonderful section here on page 507 about the different rays from the ancient book, and I think I've said enough about that in the previous video, whatever it has been. Starting with the preservation of values of the first ray, and then the consummation, the earthly consummation brought into expression by the seventh ray. From one to seven and all the other rays play their part. So it's not been easy to put these abstruse ideas expressed in the most archaic language and symbolism into modern terms and words. He conveys the general idea, the collaboration of all the seven rays in the building process of deity, and even in our own building process. You know, everything we've ever done on one of the seven rays is going to contribute, but certain rays end up being the main approach for us, the main cable for each one of us individually. We each have a tiny, tiny part to play in all this, but we've got to get our parts straight, you know. So eventually it becomes universal, and the Antikorana becomes a tremendous, momentous thing, which leads back to the absolute height of the universe, some fine day, trillions, quadrillions, sextillions of years. Well, maybe I should just stop at trillions, hundreds of trillions of years ahead. I'm thinking in the very, very long term, how much time has elapsed? Well, you can never name it. It's been infinitudinous. So the moment the disciple approaches that point in consciousness and the Antikorana is firmly anchored, he becomes aware of the factor of the greater circle, which encloses the other two, you know, and this is, you're on the way to Shambhala here, the secret place where the will of God is formulated for the immediate present and for the long-range future, at least long-range in our terms. Well, so this takes us to, you know, it is sort of what I probably unconsciously wanted to review, not all of it. There's other things to review, and probably I could go back to the very beginning and review everything. But it takes us to the techniques, and there I think I've said enough and adequately in the previous tapes, or they're not tapes anymore, they're just programs. So he does tell us about the first ray technique here, and it's all part of the technique of duality, and in considering these seven rays, he's giving us the technique of projection. How does it falls into three stages. You focus in the soul ray. Now, that's considered to be the very first stage. Very interesting. So we really have to have that sense of ourselves as a soul of a certain quality who's going to do this projection with the help of the energies that have been gathered. We have to realize the tiny point of tension which has been gathered, and then we and also our tiny point of observation, and then whatever we visualize, and however far we visualize it, we have to realize that, and then we're going to have a focused activity of the will. Now notice this. According to the ray, in which a line of light or living substance is imaginatively and creatively sent out or projected from the mental unit. Now, he's not telling us whether this is the colored light or the two-colored light, or whether later the line turns colors. And this is what it seems to be the case. The line of light is then pictured as colored by the two ray qualities and the two colors. So that's something, I can't say it's new to me, but it's certainly something that I want to emphasize now that I'm more aware of its value as part of the process. So the two ray qualities, which are major rays, are held stably aligned in the light of the spiritual triad, not the light of the soul. And he's telling it what it corresponds to. Then, the word of power is uttered, and it carries the light still further on and up. And it kind of makes you wonder, you know, it makes me wonder anyway, how far we have succeeded in carrying our projection. Now, it is assumed there's that gap there between the mental unit and the monastic permanent atom, and it doesn't really talk about a gap between the monastic permanent atom and the buddhic permanent atom, the atomic permanent atom, but we have to project across the gap. Now, I've sometimes considered a much more extensive projection, but my projection from below is not going to equal in power the downpouring of the evocative response that comes when my point of tension is sufficient and the energy of my projection is sufficient. It's not going to equal that, the power of the downpouring response from the higher aspects of my nature. So anyway, this is an important point. The word of power, when we use it, serves to carry the light still further on and up. And it suggests maybe, you know, seeing that light going all the way into the triad and even to the monad. And it has three effects. What does he say? Keeps the channel open for the descending light of the triad, where bridges will meet, the bridge from above and the bridge from below. It reaches the spiritual triad, focused temporarily in the monastic permanent atom, and evokes a response in the form of a thread of descending triadal light from what levels? Maybe from the monastic permanent atom, but also from above, and it also causes that vibration which evokes response from the other rainbow bridges. So, you know, how deep this all is and how much we have to ponder, use the second ray technique to really ponder, and then some light will appear to us when we see what he has said. It's building the Antikorana is preparatory to real initiation, the third initiation. And, you know, it's kind of analogous to what you call the chela on the thread. The Antikorana has to be sufficiently built, or at least that stage has to be sufficiently reached before the chela on the thread phase can really make its appearance. Now, the thread may be somewhat differently oriented and anchored and all of that, but this stage of building the Antikorana before the third initiation is a necessary stage to facilitate becoming the chela on the thread. You know, and it's all preparatory. It tells us that someday we will take initiation. So he's not, you know, not allowing us to rush into it. And then the stages of initiation are here discussed, personality, soul, and monad eventually. And, he's emphasizing the third initiation at this time in this kind of teaching. All right. So I hope that I've carried out a sufficient review. It has somewhat assuaged my conscience, but not entirely. I could have done better, but at least it gives us something to think and rethink. Because we have to get all that thinking out of the way before we can make this process really automatic, organic, inherent, and so forth. So, and here, you know, is the sixfold method in a summary form. He seems to give the summary form quite often. A response comes from the spiritual triad, which that intention propelled by an act of will from the point of tension, with, you know, projections, act of will, has evoked. We're always going to get that response if we do it right, and then comes things out of our hand, you know, we just keep working at it, we stabilize it, and then we rise up one day. All right, and then he talks about the different words of power, and that has been sufficiently discussed. So now, where we are, we're going to end this, only it's not exactly complete. But I hope I've said sufficient to get you oriented and get me oriented. And now this is, and I'm just going to call this a big review, especially of the projection process. And so now really, what we're going to do is we're going to begin. So, beginning of Ray's Initiation Webinar Commentary, number 48, and going on with the words of power for the third ray. All right, I think we've gone far enough now. So I didn't realize this was going to be a review, but when I start to think about all the little things that may have slipped through the cracks, and still many have, unless we read with very careful and precise attention. When I think about all those things that have slipped through the cracks, I wanted to at least give one shot at a review. And I know that's the terrible thing about the second ray in my particular case, is this passion for completeness, you know, and it just never is achieved down here in the lower three worlds, especially when time is marching on. So bear with me, and if what I can give you is a few hints that help clarify your mind or give you a line of contact with some areas of thought or process which you have not had before or used before, then I will have at least accomplished something. Okay, so that's the end of this, and then on to number 48, which is the word of power for the third ray. And remember, he's giving us now not words like ukroplasty and syrixplex and those words that we cannot pronounce, but he's just giving us the formula in terms of the world of meaning. So we'll see you then. Okay. Bye-bye for now.